Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Youth basketball is often disorganized, focused solely on winning, and generally frustrating. But at Pro Skills Basketball, our mission is to change that culture. We strive to provide a more professional experience for parents, players, and coaches. One focused on organized communication, fun, mutual respect, and personal growth, on and off the court. And the Youth Hoops Pod is a part of that. This podcast covers a wide range of youth basketball topics, from high school and AAU basketball to college recruiting, NCAA, NBA, overseas basketball, mental health and performance, leadership, and much more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to the Youth Hoops Pod. Chris Goodrum here. We're excited for the conversation. Excited to have these two esteemed guests on. We've got Shane Kenny, our Director of Talent Acquisition and Chicago Director of Pro Skills, newly minted Director of Talent Acquisition, which we're going to get into a little later on. And then we got the man, the myth, the legend, the machine, Brendan Winters, co-founder and head of growth at Pro Skills Basketball. We're excited about today's conversation. We've been on a kick over the past several weeks of our podcast, kind of spinning and folding in this kind of European push that's going on in America and throughout social media, asking, is the European model better? Is it catching up? Are we doing a disservice in the States? And so we wanted to take that lens and we wanted to combine it with the lens of what we're doing here at Pro Skills Basketball, here in the now, and then kind of what we're looking future casting as we continue to grow and build, which is why we've got the Director of Talent Acquisition and our Head of Growth. Brendan, Shane, what's going on, guys?
How's it going?
What's up, Chris? Pumped to be here. Ready for the conversation.
Yeah, man. So I'm just going to kick it off to you, Brendan, because I know that you're kind of knee deep, head deep in this kind of thought. And so just kind of where are your thoughts, or where do these two worlds kind of meld?
Yeah, well, no, good question. I mean, we've talked about it before, but we started Pro Skills. That the name literally comes from Logan and myself were playing professionally overseas. So we called it Pro Skills Basketball because we wanted to bring the skills and fundamentals and values and such that we learned from playing over in Europe, as well as at Davidson, which, you know, has always run kind of a European style offense and program and things like that. We wanted to bring it to the youth. And so that's where the whole thing started. We never had any intentions to grow, to expand outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, where we started. But one thing led to another. We brought Ross to Charlotte, Ross Schrader, who was playing overseas in Spain. And he came, he loved it. He took it back to Denver, Colorado, where we are both from, started working well there. And that was kind of the light bulb moment of, hey, this model that we have, this European Academy sort of model works. Not only in Charlotte, but it works in Denver, two pretty different places. So probably it will work other places as well. So from there, we hit up a bunch of our European connects with like JJ Miller, who runs our stuff in Raleigh, who played overseas for 12 or 15 years. JJ introduced us to Rashid Wright, who was on the podcast, and we talked about it, again, 12 or 15 years overseas as well. And from there, we just started to expand and it started working in other cities. And we, you know, in the past few years, we've gotten really intentional about expanding because our mission is to change the culture of youth basketball. So why not expand into other cities and really not just change it in Charlotte or in Denver, but change it all around the U.S. or at least attempt to. And we kind of are where we are now, where Shane started up in Chicago a year ago, did a great job, has a background in recruiting or staffing or talent acquisition, whatever you want to call it. And now part of his job besides running Chicago is to find other talented youth basketball coaches and entrepreneurs around the U.S. so that and bring in the Pro Skills model to those cities.
Yeah, so I think it's really important for the listeners to kind of understand, I guess, the climate, or not really the climate, but the current kind of status quo in youth basketball, as opposed to other sports in America, is there's really no governing body. And that's one of the big things, that if there's no governing body, how can we create something that's consistent, that's known, that is from a quality standpoint, wherever you go, you know you're going to get this type of experience. And that's the first step for us, in my opinion, is how can we spread across the nation and create a footprint of PSB that is starting to create consistency in how you operate and how you provide experiences for families, for coaches, for players. And from that, you know, you have this trickle down that hopefully other programs start to catch up and do things similarly to how we do things. And then insert Shane with trying to find individuals that align with who we are, that are okay standing in the water and standing in that flow that's trying to push them back to the status quo of youth basketball, and is ready to fight and do what we feel is right for children and their development. Shane.
Yeah, $1 million question, Chris. You know, you mentioned the status quo in basketball, and, you know, I think that's something that's important to touch on. And, you know, I talk about this a lot with parents in Chicago, but I think this isn't a Chicago problem. I think it's more nationwide in America, is that you look at the existing AAU or club organizations, oftentimes they take one of two molds. On one end, you have a very hyper-competitive, win at all costs, borderline toxic environment where, you know, skill development and improvement is secondary, at the stake of, you know, forsaking that in the name of winning. And so it's only catering to a certain subset of players. And it can be, as I mentioned, quite toxic, you know, parents screaming at players screaming at parents, at coaches, vice versa. And it's really not a great environment. But on the flip side, you have, you know, what I always kind of call like glorified daycare, which is just roll the ball out, very loose structure, you know, not a lot of coaching, not a lot of practicing. And again, kids aren't getting better. So I think, you know, insert PSB, that's where we can really be a difference maker, is again, giving kids an opportunity to improve and to develop through the game, to grow. You know, as I say a lot, like, we are always trying to compete and trying to win, but we're not going to measure our success on wins and losses. We're going to measure it on, did this child improve? Did they enjoy their basketball experience? Are they getting better, and are they growing through the game? And I think there's a real need for that in this space. I'm sure we'll get into it more, but, you know, in talking about the European model and in continuity as well, that's the other point I would touch on, is that, you know, right now, I think it's very common for kids to jump from one program to another, you know, throughout the course of an AAU season. You know, I'll play with my team for school in the winter months, and then, you know, I might play for this program for a couple of weeks. I might jump ship and play for that program for a tournament. There's, you know, the idea of a formal and set in stone roster isn't always the case for a lot of programs. So I think, again, insert PSB with saying, no, like, this is your team. This is your group of 10 players. This is your coach. You guys are going to grow and work together over an extended period of time, whether that be 8 months or 11 months, again, kind of mirroring that European thought process, to where you're going to grow alongside each other, and you're going to learn, and you're going to get better. And you'll be doing so with consistency. You won't just be playing games. We'll be practicing even more than you're playing games. So I think, again, all these things are ways that we can really make a difference. And by doing things the right way, as you said, kind of standing for something and being willing to kind of buck the current trends, I think it gives us an opportunity for growth in any city, truly.
Yeah, and I think you, Shane, hit on something that I think we stand on a lot, which is acknowledging and trying to help our parents, players, and coaches to understand that if you're looking at your experience in the youth basketball world as simply an opportunity to win or to play with the best or to travel around the country, you're probably going to lose out on the opportunity that you have for that sport to make a bigger impact, right? And so we want to really push that narrative and help people understand that if you aren't looking at basketball as a vehicle to get you to be a better person off the court, or to open up doors that still keep you on the court, but maybe not as a college player, maybe not in the NBA, maybe not professionally, but as a coach, as a trainer, as an assistant coach, as an analyst, as a a journalist. You know, there are many doors that the game of basketball can open. And so the question is, instead of looking at the here and now, and I just want my kid to win, how are we looking at the experience that they're having, the good and the bad, and helping them leverage that and see that it's a long-term investment to open up doors for you when it matters most, when wins mean more off the court than they do on the court?
Go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. And, you know, I almost use myself as an example. I loved basketball from the time I was very young. I played it alongside other sports, baseball, football, others. I played basketball in high school, but I did not play in college. And if you'd have told me, you know, that, you know, in college I would end up working full-time for a basketball organization, as much as that would have sounded amazing to me, I would have thought, you know, you were crazy. I ran in college. But one thing I always did and what I was blessed with was awesome coaches around me in the basketball world, organizations that you know, did things the right way. And I had a great youth experience that even though I didn't play at an advanced level beyond high school, I always enjoyed and loved the game. And so it was able to kind of bring me back to your point, Chris, because you never know where the game can take you, both physically, from a travel standpoint, opportunities, what have you. So, I think it's truly a beautiful thing. And then, you know, the other thing I would mention is that to your point about winning, I say this to my athletes, you know, for the kids that try out at St. Ignatius, where I coach in Chicago, and I'm sure a lot of other high schools would say the same thing, is when it comes time for you to try out for your freshman team, if that's something that's a goal of yours, you know, no coach is going to say, okay, what was your record sixth grade AAU summer before this tryout starts? I want to know everyone's, what was your team? Like, they don't care about that. At that point, they care strictly about who you are as a player, what kind of energy you're bringing on the court, are you able to execute on fundamentals, all that good stuff. So ultimately, if you're at the younger levels focused just on winning, you're doing yourself a disservice by not putting yourself in the best position to achieve whatever goals those are, if that's playing at high school or playing beyond ultimately.
Yeah, I think when we talk about winning and the importance of winning, we're leaving off a really critical word. I think it's two words, in my opinion, and something that I talk to parents and players about a lot is I care if we win, and I'm super competitive, but I care even more if I'm teaching kids to make winning plays. Because at the end of the day, coaches, whether it's your middle school coach, your high school coach, your, you know, potential college coach, they want to see a player who understands the game of basketball and knows how to make winning plays. It might not result in winning right now, but at some point in time, if you have the skill set, you have the IQ, you have the awareness, you have the ability, you're going to make a winning play. And those winning plays translate off the court as well, because you understand how to hustle, how to find a way, how to sacrifice, how to have discipline, how to have healthy habits, all of the things that you need as an athlete as well.
Agreed. It leads to professional success too. You know, it's, you know, I say this a lot, and we talk about this a lot in our program here in Chicago with PSB, is, and it's stolen from the Miami Heat, so I can't claim this as individual, but it's the thought process of how you do anything is how you do everything. You know, so I tell people, like, you know, the way you run and go pick your teammate up if they fall down in practice, like, it might seem to you right now as a seventh grader that's a very small, rather, you know, minuscule action, but what you don't realize is by you doing that, you're going to help someone later on in life who's in need, right? By you making that hustle play, that means you're going to hustle in your job, right? Like, it all, to my mind, kind of ties together. And so again, it goes beyond, well beyond the basketball court, but we're teaching them things that are going to translate to success in many other avenues of life. And so that's something I'm very proud of that PSB emphasizes, and I know the parents appreciate that too.
So what are we looking for, Brendan? You know, like, as we continue to expand, what are the things that you and Colin and Shane, like, who are we looking for?
Yeah, we are. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of really great youth basketball leaders out there that are sort of confined by the old system. I think that's something we discovered pretty early on is like, hey, and that's frankly my job and Shane's job is like to create more employment opportunities for really good youth basketball leaders. And I say not just coaches, I say a leader because what we are looking for is leaders. We have a lot of really good coaches and there's a lot of really good coaches out there, but they might not have the other things that maybe necessarily make them they might not have the ability to lead an entire program in a city. So some of those include their communication, their organization, their professionalism, their kind of entrepreneurial spirit, because it does take a lot of work to get a PSB up and running in a city. It's a lot of talking to people. There's marketing involved. There's sales involved. Just being a good basketball coach with good experience, that's just the table stakes. That's just ground zero. On top of that, you have to have all of these other things, the leadership, the professionalism, the entrepreneurial stuff, the marketing, the sales. I mean, it's a lot. And we are there to support. We have a lot of kind of experts in their fields, whether it's HR, marketing, finance, what have you. And we have obviously a ton of great basketball experts that can guide there. But it's a lot more than just the basketball piece, just the coaching. There's the mentorship involved as well. So frankly, we're looking for a lot. And so it's not easy to find. But I think we've proven that we can do it. And that, again, that's part of Shane's role is to go find these folks.
Shane, anything that you would add?
No, that was a great summary, Brendan. I use the phrase a lot, but I think what makes the city director role so unique is that you have to be the CEO of your city. Yeah. And you know, we're not just looking for someone who's been a basketball coach. There's so many other intangibles and experiences and traits you have to bring to the table, you know, both from a business and a basketball standpoint. And so, you know, one thing I'd add too is, you know, this happened for me and I know it's happened for other city directors too, but one of the beautiful things about the role is that, you know, for those people who maybe are working in a corporate job or any job that's non-basketball related, but has, you know, maybe sales or marketing or management or financial, whatever aspects to it. And maybe they're coaching on the side. You know, basketball is more like their passion project, if you will, something they absolutely love to do. They would love to work in basketball full time. You know, but they've just now been going down this career path so long that they might not see an avenue to do it. And they might think, I guess I'm just refined, you know, confined to coaching. This is where the city director opportunity can come in. You know, it starts as a part-time role within each respective city, but the objective for everybody is to build your city to the point where it can become your full-time role. And for me, when I was going through the interview process as a prospective new city director for Chicago, that's what enticed me the most by far about the opportunity. Not just PSB's values and alignment, which was, again, incredibly important, but it was a chance that if I worked at this could potentially could lead to something full time. And you know, that's not the case with a lot of, you know, local AAU or club organizations. Typically it's, you're just coaching a team and that's really the extent of it. You know, you're just going to coach that team. Whereas, you know, in the city director role, the goal for everybody, candidate included and leadership at PSB included, is that you can build this thing enough to where that becomes your job. And I think that's just super exciting. So, you know, we make that aware to everyone from the get-go in the interview process that is the goal. You know, but I think Brendan did a really nice job summarizing the fact that, you know, the job does make a very unique type of person to really drive something forward like this.
So what are the pain points? Right. So when we look at this big push right now to lift up kind of the European style of doing things, what is it that is being lifted up? And then what is it that is being compared as stark opposite that is a pain point here in the States?
Yeah, I'll take that. Shane mentioned one, or actually mentioned a few of the issues before, but one is players jumping from team to team throughout the year, not having that consistent one team, one club kind of throughout the year where there's more touch points, there's more opportunities to communicate and develop the player and figure out like what makes a player tick or what does this player need to work on. And Conversely, on the, from the player's perspective, a consistent style of play and consistent values, and it's not just going from one team to one team. You're on a team that plays zone all the time. Now the next team just plays full court man to man the whole time. It's and you're not really getting good at any one of those things. So I think the kind of our model of like one club for the year versus kind of hopping from team to team is one of the things. I would also say the, like Shane mentioned, the focus on winning versus development it is a big thing. There's a lot of also, frankly, not qualified coaches out there. Anyone and their brother can start up a team if they want to, or a program, and many have, and there's no certifications, there's no qualifications. There's also different rules out there depending on what state you're in, what city, what tournament you play in. I mean, we can't control that so much, but I would say that's an issue as well. There's way too many games being played. Whereas with us, we say, hey, like we're going to play essentially like every other weekend. We're not going to play every weekend, and it's not every other weekend the whole year either. It's just, you know, for certain seasons, we're also going to play. We're not always going to play 5-on-5. Sometimes we'll play 3-on-3. A lot of our cities do a lot with the small sided games. To kind of summarize it, Adam Silver, you know, came out after All-Star weekend talking about, there's a lot of people complaining about the All-Star game, and that's kind of a, it showcases the issues with youth basketball. They play a ton of games, and then they, like all the kids have like a trainer, right? So they're working on individual skills, and they take that into a game where they just work on the individual skills in the game. And it's not like, it's not so much of a team game, whereas the Europeans practice a lot more on the team side of things, whether that's offensively, defensively, small sided stuff. So I think that's where we are able to separate is we combine the individual skills with being part of a team and those team fundamentals and those team skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could just add to that real quick. Go ahead, Shane. I think there's tons of good nuggets in there, Brendan, but you know, I think you mentioned it, like with the individual trainers and a lot of what we're seeing now is like just the Instagram culture, you know, like doing things like performing individual skills, you know, for likes or for attention or this or that. And, you know, a lot of what you're seeing, you know, the NBA down to kids who are not as talented enough to perform some of those moves, you know, like, you know, you go on, you see kids doing between the legs, step back jumpers, right? Or like moves like that, which to your point are very individual focused. Whereas, you know, what we are constantly teaching and coaching a lot in Chicago, and I know this is across the board, is like some of the skill team-based, you know, skills. It's, you know, can I play help defense? Do I know how to box out? Do I know how to make a post entry pass? Do I know how to, you know, read a screen, set a screen, you know, things of that nature that I don't think get as much attention at the younger levels for a lot of programs in America. I feel like we do a really good job of. So there's that coupled with just having a very intentional mindset towards practicing. Because I've gotten that feedback from a lot of parents is like my kid's previous program, you know, we either didn't practice or we might practice like once every other week. And then if we do practice, it's just kind of roll the ball out and like, we'll just scrimmage, you know, and that's really it where, you know, we, for all of our practices, every single minute is planned. There, every single practice has a plan. We're doing this for 10 minutes. We're doing this for 15 minutes. We're doing this. And it's gradually building up to where you can play, but, you know, everything has intention behind it. So that was just something I want to throw into is like the fact that one, we are practicing, but also how we're practicing and what we're practicing on, I think is incredibly important in a way that we can be a difference.
Yeah, that's great. But and, I mean, go ahead, Brendan.
All right. One last thing. I mean, on Shane's point and my point, like Adam Silver, he said, players are coming into the league incredibly skilled, but that doesn't necessarily translate to being team basketball players. And then what I'm hearing from some of the same coaches that may be complaining about inability to play defense is that these players are not as prepared as I'd like them to be, particularly as very high draft picks. And I think that summarizes what, you know, some of the stuff I said and Shane said is that they're just not ready to play in a true team system. They're super skilled, super, super skilled, more skilled than they've ever been, but it doesn't necessarily translate to, I think, proper team basketball.
Yeah, it's funny. The individual, I had a conversation with a parent the other day while my son was at some individual training. But it was around individual training and why it was so good for kids, and they were upset that, you know, their son, in their perception, has gotten so much better, but he's struggling in the games. And so the conversation was around, well, that's cool if you've got the individual skill work being done with a trainer, but if you're not practicing that in a small-sided game environment, then you're going from 0 miles an hour in a controlled environment to 100 miles an hour in a game that is very not a controlled environment. And so what you miss by not practicing the right way is you miss educating kids and building in instincts and habits for kids that is teaching them for those moves, the when, the why, the how, the what if I go in to do this move or go in to make this pass, what if I see the defense rotating the right way? What if I see the closing out on the high side? Where do I go? Or if I see them lift on the closeout or break down on the closeout, we're not teaching to read things during the game. And so our kids have great skills, to your point, Brendan, but their processing power sucks. They just don't know how to process the game the right way. And when I was talking to that parent was like, yeah, never really thought of it that way. And so I think that goes back to why we believe in so much more with practicing, with skill workouts, with 3v3, with small-sided games, because, cool, you want to play games. But if you don't know how to play within the game, then you're not really playing a game. You're just out there treading for your life because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, that is a great way to put it. I mean, when you're working with a trainer, which is needed, by the way, you do need to work 1-on-0, you know, or like use, I mean, fine, if you want to use cones and things like that, you have to work on those skills. But that's one, you're essentially playing 1-on-1 versus 0. And then you don't do anything in between that, and then you just hop right into 5-on-5, full speed, full blast, and there's nothing in between the 1-on-0 and the 5-on-5. And so you miss so much stuff in between there. It's like, I don't know, like being in driver's ed and then like doing a little training there. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, just get on the highway and start driving. You know, it's like, well, what yeah, about
jump
all the
in
steps
a Bugatti,
in between?
Right. Jump in a car that can go 100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Like an F1 race. Like, okay, now you're going to compete against other players and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think that's a good analogy. Yeah.
The second, I had two other points from both you, Brendan, and Shane, but the one was just to highlight again, in America, there is no governing body for basketball. So the rules are all over the place, even from athletic association to athletic association. Sometimes it varies in how you can interact with your players at high school, at middle school, things like that. It rules, gameplay, all of it is wild, right? So there's no governing body. And then the second thing that I really love, what we try to help our parents and players understand, and it is a struggle, and I get it as a parent myself with a child who's falling in love with the game of basketball, and he's on a different developmental kind of playing spectrum journey. But parents assume that there is a lack of development only because you're comparing your child to somebody else. Like, hey, my child's not getting better because this child is great. Well, that child is not your child. That child is on their own developmental journey, and we develop it different iterations, different paces. You know, we perfect things differently, and we may jump up a couple of steps and fall back. And I one thing that frustrates me when I talk to parents is they choose to go play for someone else because they think it's going to make them better, but they miss the point that their child has gotten so much better over the past 2 or 3 years, but they're comparing their child to someone on another team that is just far better than their child is at that current moment, but think that that can happen for their child without stopping and really thinking about their developmental journey as a parent, be it in sports, be it in the professional world, be it as a parent, whatever. we all maturate at different speeds. And I think that is an issue and an epidemic here with us as parents and players and coaches, is we're just comparing each other to each other. And that is the worst thing we can do.
I think that's such a good point. And honestly, Chris, it could probably be a whole nother podcast talking about like the dangers of comparing and how prevalent that is in like all of life right now. And again, I know I mentioned Instagram earlier, but like, I think that's the big thing on social media, right? People, we're always comparing, oh, what does that person have? What don't I have? And, you know, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's like, comparison is the thief of joy.
Winston,
I think,
Churchill. Comparison's the thief of joy.
Yeah. So I think that's a great way to kind of look at it. And, you know, it's funny, like, I know I can, and I'm sure we all can, like, speak to people who were maybe just the biggest kids in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And therefore, they were some of the best players, but they were just the biggest kids for those grades. You know, they stopped growing and then, you know, they went on to maybe not play or whatever. And the kids who were a little bit smaller, maybe less skilled, what have you, like, they weren't considered the best players at that age if you were comparing them to these others, but they were the ones who ultimately went on and had more successful careers within the game because of the way they worked, the way they operated. So, I mean, it can go both ways, but I think, you know, advice to any parent, you know, it would just be to focus on your son or daughter, you know, listen to what they're saying, understand as best you can their experiences and what, you know, we talk about this a lot. What are they trying to get out of youth basketball? Just focus on that. You know, it's, what are their goals? What do they want to accomplish this season? You know, and if we focus on those goals and we're constantly talking about them and measuring against them, then wins, losses, and performance of other players aside, we can at least revisit those and say, hey, you said you wanted to, you know, work on your defense this year. And from March to October, you really improved as a defender. Or you improved in this area or that area. And then you take it step by step and the game will lead you where it's meant to. So I think, again, it's such a big topic, but that would be my two cents on how the right approach can be and how it can help you find the most joy within the game.
Yeah, great, Shane. So we're running up on 30 minutes. Let's try to park this bad boy. If we're, you know, want to provide some insight, maybe make a call out to any listeners, whether it's a potential city director, a potential coach, a parent who is in a city that would love PSV to be a part of their city. What's the ask? What's the call out? What's kind of the smoke signal that we're sending to them?
So I would say, I'll address the city director bit. And Brendan, maybe you can address the parent side of things, but for anyone who loves the game of basketball, we'll start there. One, you got to love the game, you know, to work in this capacity. You absolutely have to love basketball. But if you do, if you feel a passion or a calling towards the game, and you find yourself working within the sport already, albeit maybe at the high school or youth level or even at the college level, and want an additional path towards making basketball a full-time thing, or conversely, if you are working in a non-basketball function, but you have a love for the game, you maybe coached for a few years, you're ready to kind of take that next step with your own involvement in basketball, reach out to us. Have a conversation. I am in a really fortunate position, I think, given my dual role within the company, where I am still a city director myself. I'm still early on. You know, Chicago is just about to kick off our second season. So, you know, I can have very real, very honest and candid conversations with interested candidates around what the job entails, what it is, what it isn't, the various challenges and how gratifying and rewarding it can be. So I feel like in most interview processes for any job, typically when you talk to the recruiter, that's, you know, they're not actually doing the job you are interviewing for. Whereas in this case, when you interview with me, I am doing the job you're interviewing for, so I can give you a real look into it. So if you find yourself fitting any of those molds, you know, get in touch. We'd love to have conversations, and we're really excited about the growth that we're going to have this year and into 2025 and beyond.
Yeah, I'll add in quickly for parents, same thing. Come to our website, fill out the interest form on your city, and we will be in touch. We're happy to have a conversation, tell you more about what we do, how we do it, why we do it.
all of that stuff. So everything's on the website, whether you just want to coach with us, whether you're a potential city director or you're a parent with a child who might want to play, everything can be found on our website. Call us, email us, fill out the interest form, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and I'll close this out by, if you're someone who's currently in basketball, or maybe you're someone like me who kind of didn't take it as far as you should have, and that's been a regret of yours, and you love the game, you're a hustler, you love challenges, you love networking, you love talking to people, you love using this vessel known as basketball to help young individuals, hit us up. Go to the website. If you want to learn more, we want to be the governing body. If I'm being honest with you, if there's no governing body, then let's be the light. Let's create as many cities across the U.S. so people have to listen and have to take us seriously and have to be what we are. Let's be the blueprint. So if you're old school, it's KRS-One. If you're new age, it's Jay-Z. But we are the blueprint, and that's what we want to be, and that's what we're going to sound off on. Brendan, Shane, really appreciate you guys. Love having these conversations, thought-provoking. To the listener, please let us know how you're enjoying these podcasts. If there's any other content, any other topics, anything that you want us to talk about, to chop up, we are happy to serve you. So please drop us a note, leave us a comment, leave us a like, share us, all of that jazz. And we will see you on the next podcast. See you later, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to future episodes. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on Instagram and Facebook, and at ProSkills B-Ball on Twitter. And if you'd like to find out more information about our teams, camps, clinics, or virtual basketball, check out our website at www.proskillsbasketball.com. We'll see you soon on another conversation.